Okay, we're picking up with the top line of Hey Amar Aleph for the words of Amar Le Abaye. So again, the Gemara suggested above that the reason that you can't get married on Motzei Shabbos is because you're going to have cheshbonos, that you're going to come into Motzei Shabbos, the wedding's going to be Motzei Shabbos, you're going to be thinking, oh, that day, and all these different things which are going to be related to the wedding, which is also to be thinking about. You're not allowed to think about things that are not related to Shabbos on Shabbos. Talk about those things as the Isser of Daber Davar. The person is not supposed to be speaking, things that are not relevant to Shabbos on Shabbos. So it says the Gemara, Amar Le Abaye, v'cheshbono shel mitzvah mi'asiri. But if the calculations are related to a mitzvah, is it really aser, says Abaye? V'har Rav Chista, Rav Imnuna, da'armei tavai, Rav Chista and Rav Huna both said, cheshbono shel mitzvah mutter l'chashbin b'Shabbos, that it's permitted to make the calculations are going to be for the sake of a mitzvah. The Gemara in Shabbos learns out that making calculations for mitzvahs are not subject to this prohibition, so therefore it should be permitted to calculate things that are relevant to a mitzvah. In our circumstances, the Miri points out that the mitzvah of the, if you're going to calculate, oh, how much does this chicken cost, how much does that cost, those are all related to the Seudas mitzvah of the Chasan Vikala, which is a mitzvah, so therefore that should not be an issue. But Amar Rabbi Lazar, poskin tzedakah l'anim b'Shabbos, also you're allowed to give out, announce how much money you're going to be giving out to the poor people orally. You're allowed to say how much you're going to be giving. This is also the idea of the Shulchan Aruch quotes Beferish in Shin Vav and the Ramah over there, that a person is allowed to pledge a certain amount of money to tzedakahs, which is why it's common practice in many shtiblach and the like. They're allowed to sell aliyahs because the money is going to the shul, which is a tzedakah, it's tzedakah, and therefore, or even if it's not for, sometimes in Yamim Tovim, you'll have different programs, things like that, that they're selling aliyahs for different tzedakahs. So that also is totally mutter based on the Gemara over here, that it's going to be mutter. What is interesting, actually, is some Rishonim point out that Mishnah Berurah actually quotes this, that it might be usher to actually donate a particular object. You say, I'm going to donate my couch to the shul, because that actually is similar as donimah to the idea of a hekdesh, which is usher to do on Shabbos. So that might be usher. But definitely, giving the amounts of tzedakah, announcing how much tzedakah you're allowed to give, is something that Meisim Becholio, many Shtiblach, many places in all over Eretz Yisrael, America, plenty of places do that, and that is based on this Gemara, is going to be mutter. So, similarly, you're allowed to go to the shul and discuss things that are of a great importance to the tzibur, not necessarily things that are pikuach nefesh. That's going to be the next halacha. But even just things that are necessary for the tzibur to take care of. Obviously, you're allowed to publicize matters of life or death situations. Some Rishonim aren't happy with the lashon of pikuach nefesh. Pikuach nefesh is so pasha, you don't even need anyone to teach you that you're, if there's something that's even a subject pikuach nefesh, you're allowed to take care of it. So, you don't need the statement of Yaakov Reidi to tell me this. So some say that it means not pikuach nefesh, rather it should be pikuach rabim. It also is similar to what we're saying before. The Amar of Shmuel Bar Nachman B'Yochanan Holchim le Tartayos le Rakiyos le Fakiach Eskir Rabim Shabbos. Some of the stadiums that they used to have, different big places, amphitheaters, different places that they used to have, in order to deal with the ministers to discuss on the behalf of the Jews, even if it's not necessarily a shaila of life or death, but that is something which is community matter, is therefore permitted to be taken care of on Shabbos. Betana Devei Menashia, Mishadchen Elatinokas, Liaris B'Shabbos. We're allowed to, right? That's the whole Shaila. That's what we say in the Lashon of Velashadech Habanos, in Lisanek Basanugin, right? That we say that in the Piyut. That's referring to this. This is this Halacha, Vesim Delalamnok Sefer, right? Velashadech Habanos. And right, that nigun. So that's if you read that nigun carefully, you'll learn many halachas of Hilchos Shabbos. So this is one of these halachas that it's mutter, right? Hurim mutarim that's a hurim is going to be mutter. And this also, this mishadchan al tinokos or b'Shabbos, to arrange a match for a shidduch for a young girl for the purpose of getting married is also mutter. Obviously not to give the ring, but to say, oh, we're going to agree and have the families agree, that's also mutter. V'latinok lamda sefer lamda umnos, and someone to have a tutor come and eventually pay the tutor after Shabbos, that's also going to be mutter, because there's a mitzvah to marry off one child. The Gemara Kedushin has that as one of the things that the father should do for his son. Also teaching the son a trade is the mitzvah, and Kedushin teaches us also mutter. To teach him that, to have him start learning the trade is also going to be mutter. Obviously not involved in any of the malachas, but just to talk about it. And also to hire a tutor for Shabbos, even for the purposes of Limud Kodesh, going to be mutter. But again, the tutor shouldn't come in and specify how much he's charging, deal with it after Shabbos, but that is also something which is a leniency towards a specific case of a tzorach mitzvah. So again, why is it usur to do all these things? Meaning, so this is included in that is that it should be mutter for a person over here to be mechashbe in the amount of food is going to be dealing with the chicken and things like that at the wedding on Motzei Shabbos. So therefore, it says Amar Bzira, Gzira Shema Yishchod Ben Of. A different halacha that we the Chazal made Gzira over here, not to get married on Motzei Shabbos. We're afraid you're so nervous about, oh my God, I have 500 people coming tomorrow and I don't have anything prepared. So then you're going to come in your lapse of awareness, you're going to come to forget that it's Shabbos and just start doing the shechita for the chickens and be so nervous about it, preoccupied with the wedding, so therefore you're going to forget Shabbos and come to Sheft and violate the Issur D'Oraisa of Shechita on Shabbos. So says the Gemara, but if that's the if we're making this gzera that we're afraid a person become preoccupied with a large meal that's going to be anticipated after Shabbos, so Yom Kippurim Shechalios B'Sheni B'Shabbos Yitcha. If Yom Kippur falls out on a Monday, so we should postpone it until Tuesday. What does it mean? Actually, the ritual points out, right? Yom Kippur falls on Monday. We're not going to say, oh, there's no Yom Kippur on the 10th. It's really the 11th this year. No, it means that we have the ability we know to calculate the calendar. Different cheshbonos, Lo'adu Rosh and Pesach, Lo'adu Pesach. Different things that we are mechashbin in the calendar, so we can make the day of whatever it is, the previous Tammuz Av, we can manipulate the calendar to make sure that Yom Kippur will never fall out on a Monday. That's what it means over here. So we should always make sure that it falls out on a Tuesday. Because we're afraid that due to the Suda that's coming up, that we're afraid that he's going to be preparing for it on Motzei Shabbos. So the Gemara says, this is going to be a very important Rashi in the Hemshech. So again, we're afraid that he's going to be preparing for Shabbos for the upcoming Suda that he's going to be have to take care of, because if it's on Monday, that means Sunday is Erev Yom Kippur. If Sunday is Erev Yom Kippur, we know there's a mitzvah d'oraisa to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. That's what we learn out from Tisha L'Erev, Erev L'Erev, that you can't, we're not fasting on Tisha, on the ninth day of the month of Tishrei. Rather, someone who eats on the ninth day of Tishrei is as if he fasted the tenth also. So there's a mitzvah, potential, possibly, L'Chora d'oraisa to eat on Erev Yom Kippur. So it's so important you're going to come to prepare that meal already on Shabbos. So the Gemara gives two explanations. One is Hasam to Nafshe Lo Tarid Achad LaAcherim Tarid. That with regards to Yom Kippur, if it's for himself, that he's not going to be afraid, he's not going to become preoccupied and forget that it's Shabbos. However, when you're preparing a huge meal for hundreds of people, whoever it is, even 20, 30 people, you're afraid, you're going to get preoccupied with so many of the preparations, you're going to get so nervous about it, so you're going to come to make the mistake to accidentally violate Shabbos. But for yourself, you're not going to come to violate Shabbos. That's one chiluk. That's why there's no shaila about the Yom Kippur falling out on a Monday. Second answer now. Hasam ischer rafcha, that there with regards to the Shabbos falling out on Shabbos and then the Erev Yom Kippur being Sunday, since the according to Rashi, the Suda is it's only going to be the Machar, Lashon Rashi says, the Torah Suda's Machar, so then, therefore, there's time for that next Suda. Achaliz Refka, but here you're going to have the wedding immediately and what's a Shabbos, so therefore, one is not going to make a mistake with regards to Yom Kippur because you have only till Sunday, you're eating your main meal on Sunday before the fast, so too, you're not going to be making the mistake with regards to the issue of the wedding. If you're preparing a wedding on Saturday night, then that would be the problem over here. So the Gemara says, "Hash Tadasa Achi." But now that you've come onto the answer, so Erev Shabbos Nami Gzeres Shemishcha Benov. So we can say that also one shouldn't also have be on Friday night because extend the wedding. You're going to having be on Friday night. The wedding could go into Shabbos, and we're afraid if he doesn't have enough food, he's going to come to prepare and shecht another food for that. There should be another issue over here. It's important to note that Rashi points out that the Suda was for the next day. So the Suda was Machar with regards to eating an Erev Yom Kippur. There's a big machlokas in the Achronim. When does the mitzvah kick in for Yom Kippur? Does an Erev Yom Kippur eating an Erev Yom Kippur? Is it the night before? Is it ready to all of Erev Yom Kippur the night? Or is it the next day? So the Gra, I think it was the Gra, Rav Shechter pointed out, Rav Shechter, the schluss of learning Mesechus Ksuba, that was the first Mesechus I learned of Shechter Shir, and the schluss have been there for 4 years. So that was the first Mesechus we learned, was Mesechus Ksuba. So he used to point this Rashi over here and say, let's just Machar and make the diuk that the mitzvah is only on daytime according to Rashi. The mitzvah to eat Erev Kippur only applies from the day of Erev Kippur. The night before there would be no mitzvah based on this Rashi. The Gra points this out, and I forgot which one of the big old time European Rebbeim in YU always used to say when the boys were learning Ksubas, you're learning Mesechus Ksubas, and they'd say yes, and you'd say, are you allowed? Is there a mitzvah to eat the night before? And the boys would never know, but there's this diuk in this Rashi, so you're not learning Mesechus Ksuba properly. You have to learn this Rashi carefully and see that the Tzorach Machar is only the Suda. So there are those, actually, Ratzibas that Frank I saw brought down, says it's not so pasha to me bedaik like that Rashi, right? Rashi means that only the Suda is the next day, but still there is a mitzvah to eat the night before. And I saw another Raya that you could say that you're going to be eating Malava Malka, so it's not a major Suda. You're not eating a major Suda. The next day is the big Suda, but you're still eating a Suda the night before, and that is part of the mitzvah of eating. Nonetheless, they seem to agree that that was a good diuk. And the Rashi, the end of the day, Rav Pesach Baker rejects that Raya, but it is important to know that this is a machlokas, and this is a very important maramakum, this Rashi over here, which seems to imply that the mitzvah is only the next day. There is a shayla halach lamaisa also nowadays, getting married on Motzei Shabbos. The Chorin Gemara seems over here that there is an issue that is a big shayla. Not time to get into it now. We have to go weiter. So says the Gemara, Ibai lahu. So we learn, we have another question. Besula nisis pervi, benivelas pervi. So now we assume that a person is getting married on Wednesday, right? So you're getting married on Wednesday, and you're marrying a Basula on Wednesday. So is the Bia also done during the day? Now, normally there is an Isser for a person to have Bia during the day. That is, you're only supposed to be having Bia at nighttime. That's what we're going to get to later in the Samechs. We're going to see that. The Rishon already asked this kash, and they point out if it's a dark room, then it would be mutter. For Bia Rishon, it might be a special heter also to be Mekil and to be Nevel's Bir Vi. That was the Havmina. Or, Lechashin Lekori Daita, and was the reason, because we're not concerned that he's not going to, his anger is going to cool off, and therefore he's not going to bring her into the basin the next morning. However, if you have Bia at nighttime, so then he's still going to be really angry about it and bring her to the basin. Oh, Dilma Basula Nisus Rabiv and Nevel's Bechamishi. Or maybe we assume that you should be getting married on Wednesday and having the Bia specifically at nighttime on Wednesday night. The Chashin Lekori Daita, we're afraid in those hours she's gonna console him and say, no, don't worry about it, whatever, make some excuse why she wasn't a Basula, but we don't want that to happen. We wanted to bring to Basin to find out whether Edim are gonna come, as we saw in the very first Mishnah, Edim should come and discuss whether or not, and find out whether or not she really had relations in between the Eirusin and Suin, and she would be Chayav Misa. So, we wanted to, only to have the Bia at nighttime because we're concerned that she's going to be able to, or he is going to, his anger is going to cool off and not bring her to the basin the next morning. So says the Gemara, Tashma the Tani Bar Kapara. We learn in the name of Bar Kapara. The Braisa tells us Besula Nesis Bereviv and Nivelas Bechamishi, that specifically a Besula who is a virgin, she should get married on Wednesday and have Bia at nighttime on Thursday. So why? Because Hoyel Benemra Bracha LaDagim, as Rashi quotes, the Bracha is given to the Dagim. Is referring to the bracha that was given to fish, and we see that there's a special bracha which is given, so there's a whole day of bracha, day of bracha specifically in the context of having puravu, of procreating, so we hope that that bracha extends to this couple as well. The Marsha, actually, I'll mention the Marsha in a moment. A manan is just b'chamishi. A widow is married on Thursday, but nivalas b'shishi she have bia on Thursday night. Ho v'nemra b'bracha la'adam, because the bracha was mentioned la'adam. A person, we know that the bracha of puravum lewis ha'aretz is mentioned to Adam on the night of on Friday. So therefore, when a man was created, therefore that should be done. That she specifically should have bracha on leil shishi, meaning the night of the night of. Of Thursday night, which will intend to purpose, Allah's purpose is that's already Friday. Because there's a bracha l'adam, so the Gemara is medayik. What's the whole reason Bar Kapara says to have Bia by night time? Time of Mishim Bracha, Aval Mishim Mekredet and Lechashina. That the Gemara is saying, it's pretty clear in the Diyuk in the Braisa of Bar Kapara that specifically the reason that they should have Bia on the night time was not because of Ikurei Daita, but because there's a special bracha Wednesday night, there's a special bracha Thursday night, you should wait to have that special bracha as the Bia Rishon will be then, and that's why the Braisa says it, but not because of him cooling off. They're really cooling off, we're not afraid of. So we see over here that there's a very special idea of the bracha for Adam bracha ladag, and the Rashi just wonders. People are looking for so many schools bizman hazeh. Maybe it's a pnei. I should remember one of the chorim says there's a big bracha. The Chazal give us a bracha to get married on Wednesday night, Thursday night, and it's a. We don't necessarily, people aren't, I don't know people, Akilas that are so makbet about specifically even getting wedding right Wednesday night, Thursday night, bizman hazeh. Most people get Sundays in America because it's a day off, but whatever it is. That is a big school up based on the Gemara over here to get bracha, to have the bracha of Dagim, have the bracha of Adam. So the Gemara says, but if that's so, that the reason for a Besula was Wednesday night, Almana namitza baba chamishi, but why doesn't the Almana who's getting married on Thursday, she should be on Thursday and have the bracha of Dagim. So the Hawa of Anemar bracha of Dagim, because the bracha of Dagim again was on Thursday. So the Gemara says, because bracha of Adam, no, bracha for a person or a man was more chashuv. It's better to get the bracha that was mentioned to Adam and Chava, that the Puru Revu, that bracha is better. However, when it comes to, and Wednesday night was specifically a Basula because there's, we wanted to go to Basin on Thursday, so she they can't get married on Thursday night. However, when it comes to an Almana, which she knows she's a Ba'ula, so he's not expecting her to be a Basula, so therefore they can get married on Thursday, and they should specifically have to be on Thursday night because it's a more preferable bracha to get. The Gemara says, "V'inami b'shum shaktu," or another reason why you specifically should get married on a Friday rather than a Thursday, because the Chachamim were careful with shaktu; they were being careful in careful for the welfare of the woman over here. Why? Why did the Chachamim say that a widow is married on Thursday and has to be on Friday? She may also marry to Baal B'chamishi because you assume that they're going to be on Thursday. The next day, the husband's going to get up early and he's going to go to work. The Rosh Hashanah is wondering this. We assume these guys are Russia. There's an iser for the husband to work. Okay, that's a shayla, but. A person's gonna, we're afraid that the next day he's gonna go to work. The Chachamim are instituted that you should have 3 days of Simcha, that should have, it should be, and therefore you should have the Bia, because on a Thursday they're getting married. So Thursday, Friday, by Friday is not the Thursday, nighttime is gonna Bia, so therefore he's gonna be busy with his wife. And Chamishi b'Shabbos, Erev Shabbos b'Shabbos. Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, he'll be with his wife, and then he'll go to work on Sunday, but at least he'll have 3 days with her. Because again, the Chuppah was taking place on Thursday. If they're not having the Bia the next, until that night, apparently that affection, the bond that they have, he's not gonna wanna go to work next to their, the next morning, on Friday morning. And therefore, he's going to stay home, and then Shabbos obviously is not going to go to work, and then first you have 3 days of Simcha. So the Gemara asks, "My ikka bin bracha l'shaktu? Is there an afkamina between the reason being that they should have bia on Thursday night because of the bracha or because of shaktu?" So the Gemara gives two examples of the reason. Yes, ikka binayo adam betel. Let's say a guy doesn't work. A guy doesn't have a job yet. He's working in the next few months after he gets married. So he definitely is not going to go to work. So therefore, if it's not because of if the whole reason is because of shaktu, so then he could be nivel on chamishi b'yom. However, if the ideas were we want to have this bracha, then they should have a chiyuv to do it at nighttime as well. And or inami yom tov shechal yos b'erev Shabbos. What if the yontov is Friday? So they get married on Thursday, which is erev yontov. So there's not going to be an issue of him going to work the next morning because there's yontov. So therefore there'd be mutter as well over here. So now the Gemara, once you're mentioning a statement of Bar Kapara, we're going to get into a little bit of a gadta about Bar Kapara. Darash Bar Kapara, gedola ma'aseh tzadikim yoser ma'aseh shemayim va'aretz. That what the tzadikim do in this world has a certain level is greater than what the creation of the heavens and the earth. As the Gemara is going to proceed to quote a pasuk, the pasuk says with regards to the creation of heavens and the earth, it says my hand is the foundation of the earth and my right hand was spread out in the heavens. This pasuk is implying that the heavens and the earth were created using one hand. When it comes to the handwork of the tzaddikim in this world, it says in the plural that the foundation, the dwelling of Kriyat Hashem, the place, the Kaddish place he made, is your hands have established, the hands in the plural over here. So therefore we see that in reference to creation of the world, it's only one hand, and in reference to the Maisa Tzaddikim, it's plural of the hands, so that implies that there's a greater level to the Maisa Tzaddikim in this world. So the Gemara says, "Heishi Bavli Echad Reb Chiya Shmoyer." Bavli Echad. Agav, there is so many very deep inyanim here. A lot of Chassidus Torah over here. Meshaluach. There's a whole thing about this that there's Chesed. There's a lot of Kabbalah going on over here as well. Bavli Echad. We're just giving Pashup Shat. Reb Chiya said, "Vayabeshet Yadav Yatzaro." Another pasuk says, "In the dry land, his hands have fashioned it." So therefore, we learn that both hands are associated with the creation of the earth in plural. The Gemara says, "Yadoksi," but it's written with Yado and it's singular, even though it's pronounced with the plural. So therefore, it still can be read as Yado in the singular. So therefore, it's not in the plural. The Gemara says, "Vaksiv Yatzaro," but Yatzaro is written in plural. Again, clearly indicating that there's a plurality going on over here. So says the Gemara, "Amar Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak Yatzaro etz beosav." His fingers in the plural of one hand fashioned the dry land. The pasuk says, "When I have your hands, your fingers, the moon and the stars that are set in place." So over here, the pasuk Yatzaro is in plural, indicating that the subject was plural. But we've answered that over here is referring to the plural verb is not referring to two hands. Rather, it means the fingers of the hand are created like that. The Gemara says, "Meisi ve'akasha hashemayim misapin kavod el ma'ase yadav makir arkiya." The heavens declare the work of Hashem. The ma'ase yadav, that the handwork of Hashem is going to create also is speaking about the glory of Hashem. So again, this is talking about the work in plural with two hands. So the Gemara says, "Achi kamar ma'ase yadayim shel tzadikim mi magid." Who says the great works of the tzadikim? Arakia, the upper Shemayim. Hamaynu, how through what? Method Matar, through rain. That Kosh Baruch Hu gives rain to Klal Yisrael through Maisa Tzadikim. That the only reason the world has rain is because we ask for it, we daven for it, and the Tzadikim we daven for it bring about the rain and the Shefa to the whole world. This is the very beginning that the Tzadikim, and the Gemara already says this, that the Chanina Bini, he only has Kru Mer Shabbos, Dar Shabbos, he's basically surviving on nothing, but he brings the whole Shefa to the world. You know that the Tzadikim have the ability to bring a tremendous Shefa to all the world around him. The whole Sefer Noam of the Melech is about this, that the tzaddik has to be pulled, all these things, and that's his tafkin in the world. We have to try to get close to the tzaddik, and he himself has to bring Klal Yisrael to only good thing, and batal l'gzeiros, chas v'shalom on Klal Yisrael. That's what we see from here. How important the Maaseh Tzaddikim is. Says the Gemara, Darash Bar Kapara, Maik, Zitzav Yaseh Tiyelecha Al Azeinecha. The Pasuk in Kitetz, I believe, is talking about over here literally going to war. That in addition to one, the weapons that you have, you should also have this type of, the instrument over here, the type of shovel, to cover up your tzoa, to cover up your bodily waste. So that you have to cover it up. So we're going to have another level of interpretation over here. That besides for the pshuto shemikra, we say al tikri oznecha doesn't mean it as oznecha, meaning that your weapons. Rather, yaset yelecha al oznecha. You should have this spike in your ears. Shemish ba'adam shalem v'shalgon. If a person hears something which is not proper, then what should he do? Yaniach etzbo be'oznav. He should place his finger, which is like a spike, in his ears. Why are a person's fingers similar to spikes? My time as a Gemara says, even the Mechalkan are going to tell me that they're separated. We know they're separated because of a different reason. That they're separated because HaKadosh Baruch Hu made them separate for a different reason. Kolchad Mil Savita, we learned different halachas for the separation of the fingers. Meaning, why don't we have webbed hands? Because Baruch Hu gave us five different hands because we learned five different halachas for them. What is that? The Amar Mar, the Braisa says, those there, as the pinky finger, is used to measure the choshen of the Kohen Gadol. Zu Kamitza, we know that the Kamitza, the other finger, the fourth finger, is Kamitza, because that was used to scoop the Mincha. That was what they used to do. You have the three fingers, and then cover it over with the fourth finger. That's how they used to do the Kamitza process of the Mincha, Korbanos. So Amma, and the Amma is because we calculate an Amma based on your, I think it's from your elbow all the way to the top of your middle finger. That's how we calculate an Amma, which is how we calculate an Amma, and that's why we have that. So Etzba, and then the Etzba is for the sprinkling of the Korbanos, the Dam, the Avodas Adam, which was sprinkled with your Etzba, with your index finger. And Zagudah, the thumb, which was also done with the Aaron HaKohen and Orgir, and then Metzora, different things, we use the thumb as well. So therefore, the Halachas, that's why they're separated. We know a different reason that they're separated. So it says the Gemara, the Mai Tam is Shupos Ki Yisrael. Why do they have an incline like spikes? Because they fit in perfectly into your ears. You should place them your fingers in your ears. You should place your fingers in your ears to block out the sound. Why is the entire ear hard? Well, the ear lobe is very soft. Because if a person hears something which is not appropriate, you'll be able to bend over his earlobe and cover the sound. And not only that, you can cover it with the double covering with the other earlobe as well. So that you can cover it over, not the ear. So I once also heard of a nice pshat. What are these two different answers? One saying you should, the mice I only need one way. I either use my fingers to cover my ears, or I cover my ears through the earlobe. So there's a machlokas achorim. I don't know, brings this, it's obviously a pshetel, but it's a nice idea. That there's a machlokas achorim. If someone sticks your fingers in your ears, you have to do netilas adayim again. Because there's an idea that if a person touches mechumos and mechusim, then you're not allowed to. It's a big show. People aren't careful with this. You have to realize that you're not. If you scratch your back, let's say, like your actual back, not through your shirt, but you scratch your back, you have to wash your hands. You're not allowed to learn or daven if you're in that situation. Similarly, the whole shaila about tefillin, and even because it's normally covered also. But a person touching mechumos and mechusim, your legs, let's say, whatever other areas which are covered, you touch them, you have a chiyuv of netilas adayim. So there's a big machlokas achronim whether or not sticking your hands in your ears is I think the grows make other achronim. Machmir Ali Rabbah, if I'm not mistaken. So then maybe these two answers line up to these two shitas. One who says that you should stick your fingers in your ears is not choshish that is a problem of Tilas Adayim. So therefore he says stick your fingers in your ears. However, Tanav Ishmael says that no, you can't use sticking your fingers in your ears, you have to do Tilas Adayim. So there's another way, it must be the other way, is to cover your ears with your earlobes. Okay, I think that's upshetal, but it's a nice halacha to learn. It is an issue with Tavim Mekomos V'chusim, and there is a machlokas whether or not sticking your fingers in your ears would be the issue as well. So the Gemara says anyway, so back to over here, why are they here? Because if you have, you should cover your ears with your lobes. Tanya Rabbanan, Al Yishma Adam La'oznav Dvarim B'Teilim. Person should not hear things that are even idle talk, because that Kalid to Lashon Arab. They should not have Tchilei Dvarim, because they eventually are going to be easily burned in limbs. The Chavetz Chaim talks about this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Gehenim, and is going to exaggerate from the person who's doing an Avera. So a person who's listening to forbidden speech, these earlobes are going to be facilitating that, and are going to be creating this fire. And the Chavetz Chaim points out that it would be all the limbs of a person used to violate Avera. The Gemara is warning that these are also going to be burned with the Avera of Lashon Hara. Says the Gemara, now a new topic. Going back to the topic which we already mentioned, the Brisa said Pasha that was Usher. So Rishon already bothered by it. The Brisa said it's Usher, so why is the Gemara all of a sudden asking whether it's mutter to have Bir Rishona, the first relations between a man and his wife on Shabbos? What's a shaila? Because the person, we know, a woman who's a virgin is going to bleed. So is there a problem of having a wound on Shabbos of chabura, the mitzvah tilas shama, or mitzvah shochet, mitzvah told at the shechita, Rashi in some places implied tzvia, whatever the issur deraisa is, there's an issur deraisa of creating a wound on Shabbos. So is that an issue over here? So the Bryce already said this Pashat Aser. So the Gemara is, the Rishon of Tiberias, one is that they didn't know this Bryce. So not every Bryce they're chayef to know. Mishnah, we assume every Amora knew every Mishnah. But certain Bryce they weren't aware of, they didn't know this Bryce. That could be A. Or they just, there was this Bryce out there, just want to know, is it Allah Chol HaMais or not? So either way, so that's what the Gemara is asking now. Is there a problem of Baal Bia Tchila B'Shabbos? So the Gemara says, what are the two tzadim? Is Dam Mifkar Pakid? Is the blood literally stored? Is it stored there? Or is it just released by the woman's private, right? Or chaber mechbar, or is it considered a wound? Is it attached to it, and therefore is going to be continuing extracting a wound, which would be potential dash or bringing out as a wound on Shabbos, making it aser. So this verse, Rav Shefter quoted to us over here on this Gemara as well, that Rav Soloveitchik never likes to say that they're arguing a Metzias. He always says it was a Machlokas Metzias. So he would always explain it by that there's a different Yisod Advarim that they're arguing over here. So when it comes to a woman also, that wasn't the Metzias of what's going on over here. Not the scientific Metzias, but rather just a different idea of fundamentally how he's viewing the Bir Rishona. That's how Rav Soloveitchik, I think, wanted to say this Machlokas. The Gemara says, so what was it? Tzutana Inter to Lamar Dam Mifkat Pakim. You want to assume that the blood is stored, and therefore it's not going to be an issue. And Rashi explains it like you're just like opening like a door. It's not really you're not this, the blood isn't creating a new wound and a new thing. So therefore you're just like opening a door. That's not an issue. So then the damutar fashari, that it's the blood that you need. Meaning the primary person is to release the blood, and that's not, and just to ascertain that she is a besula, and that would be mutter. Oh, dilma the pesach utar faster is the opening of the woman's private part that he needs, and that's going to be usher creating the opening, because then the future acts of bia is going to be useful. It's going to be now open for him to have deal with her, and that would be similar to creating a Pesach on Shabbos, which is going to be Aser. So that is the tzad over here, and it maybe should be Aser. Or even if you clue that it's for the blood, and it's coming on its own, and therefore it's not intended. But maybe we can say that it's going to be talking of another machlokas that we know that we had in Masechta Shabbos over and over and over again was machlokas Rabbi Shimon and Alach Rabbi Yehuda when it comes to davar shenu miskaven. A person is dragging a bench in Shabbos, and it might create a furrow on the ground, so it's not necessarily going to happen. So that's what's called davar shenu miskaven. I don't want it to happen, and it might happen, but it might not happen. So that's davar shenu miskaven. Rabbi Shimon says that it's mutter, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's aser. The Rishon are bothered by over here is that if she definitely is going to bleed and create this Pesach, if she's bleeding, it's definitely creating the Pesach. The Shaila is he mechavin for it or not, but it's definitely happening. Then that's another principle that we're aware of, which is called psik reisha v'layamos, so you cut the chicken head, it's not going to die, meaning that Rabbi Shimon agrees when something is inevitably going to happen, it's aser. So if over here the blood is definitely coming out, and it's just a Shaila, if it's creating the Pesach, or the damot tzarech, or is it for the Pesach coming out, what his intention was, but it's definitely the blood coming out, then Rabbi Shimon should agree that it's aser. So I think Tosas already give this answer that no, that over here, since there is this derech hataya, where we're going to learn out later on the Gemara and tomorrow's daf, on daf vav, so derech hataya, which is you're able to have bia at an angle which is going to prevent her from bleeding, so if there is this possibility a person could accidentally do it, and so then it's not called a psik reisha. If something is even a small chance of it happening, even a very small chance of it happening, then a person is allowed to do that maisa on Shabbos, to give a nice maisa with a very small chance of it happening. Rav Neventzel is supposed to eat Rav Neventzel meal many times when I was in yeshiva, so as a bachur, so one that there's a lot of words on one of the ice creams. Somebody asked Rav Neventzel, is it mutter to open it? There was not much, a lot of words. It looked like it was like almost unavoidable to not rip through the words. Rav Neventzel said, it's fine. He didn't think it was a psik reisha. He didn't think it was definitely inevitable. So he saw that the bacha was still like a little hesitant. So Rav Neventzel took the ice cream and opened it in front of him. And opened it and showed him that it's totally mutter. That was a very nice vice. It was very funny that he did that. He was showing him that even if it's a small, very small chance, you won't rip the letters, it's still fine. I'm assuming that was what he was kavana was, because if you're for sure going to rip the letters in the chura, you would have a problem. Anyway, back to over here. So that's what they point out. It's not 100%. It's not inevitable. It'll happen that the blood will come out. So maybe you're going to be machmir the lachas like Rabbi Yehuda says. Davar shemiskaven is aser. Maybe mekalkul etzal pesach or metaken etzal pesach. There's another machlokes. Rabbi Yehuda generally holds when something is mekalkel, it's not going to be problematic. At least on level deraisa over here. That's what shaila. It's still pashas and nisid rabbanan. But that's what maybe over here for this lasarach. Where Roshana might be mutter. So the Gemara now cites a second version of this machlokes. Ikad amrei v'imtet lomar dam mechabur mechbur. The other way around, going on that side of chumrah, that even if you hold that it's creating a wound, which normally should be usher, ledamu tzarech v'usher, that if he needs the blood, that should be usher, because you're deliberately causing the wound for the blood. Odilma lahanasa atzmo tzarech v'shari, that it's for his own anah, and therefore it's not going to be asr again, at least on the level of deraisa for sure. It's examen de ashen eskavin, because maybe you won't create the chabura, and even if you do, you don't want it, so that might be not necessarily a problem. You're going to conclude that you need it for your own pleasure, and you're not for the dam melech asr, and the blood is just coming out on its own, right? Halacha Rabbi Yehuda, halacha Rabbi Shimon, then halacha follows Rabbi Yehuda holds that even the davar eskavin is going to be asr, so this case should be asr, or maybe it's like Rabbi Shimon, and this case should be permitted. If you're going to tell me maybe the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, mekalkel b'chabura, maybe this is a destructive act on the wound, and it shouldn't necessarily be asr. Or it's constructively making the wound, it should be asr. We're going to say that it's destructive. A destructive act is generally not a problem. Shimon is going to be asr in that case. It's also going to be who holds that it's going to be chaya for making a wound, even mekalkel. Something is derech to be mekalkel. It's still going to be asr according to Rav Shimon. So maybe there, that again, this other shell is not relevant. It's not predicated necessarily on the previous one. But if the halacha is that something on when creating a kilkel, is that going to be something which inherently is like a kilkel chabura? Is that going to be problematic if it's going to be a destructive act? That's a machlokas. Rav Yehuda would say that. Mutar Rav Shimon separately would say that it's going to be asr. So if you hold like Rav Shimon on that specific nekuda, even though you hold like Rav Yehuda in general with regards to that Rav Shimon's kavan, then you still come out that it would be lechumra. However, if you hold like both Rav Yehudas, then you would hold that it's going to be a kula. Okay, but as Hashem, we'll pick up with Bei Rav Mirtz Hashem on tomorrow's daf.